All right, well, let me jump on into my opening monologue, the Right Side Way monologue. As always, I remind you guys that attorney Stan McDonald, a partner at the law firm of Wilmer & Lee out of Huntsville, is the sponsor of the daily Right Side Way monologue, and I'll tell you more about him in just a minute. So, okay, I'm about to make an analogy that is going to rankle some feathers. I feel certain, because it relates to that debate that I spoke of just a moment ago. The fact that there's a lot of debate out there about H-1B visas is a clear indication that apparently Republicans do have their own minds. So if you're not familiar with the H-1B, it's a special visa that under certain circumstances, it allows an employer to apply for a foreign national to be hired to work in the United States because that foreign national has some unique skill or qualification or level of expertise that cannot otherwise be found by them in the U.S. And it gives employers ostensibly the opportunity to get the best of the best from the world hiring pool, as opposed to being just, you know, confined to the hiring pool here in the U.S. of A. Well, there's pros and cons. I mean, think about it. Let's picture it this way. Baseball is an international sport, right? But it was invented in America. Baseball in America is still a multi-billion dollar enterprise with fans spending good money for tickets to watch their favorite team play for the pennant. But should American baseball only be allowed to hire American-born players? I mean, what if they were born somewhere else but they played college ball while they got their degree in America? When is it allowed? Huh. Or what if a team owner just wants to make a play for the pennant but he needs the best designated hitter that money can buy? But that guy happens to be Shohei Ohtani, who plays in a Japanese league and doesn't even speak English. But Shohei Ohtani, arguably the best player in all of professional baseball in the whole wide world, he now plays for the LA Dodgers. He's now heralded with helping his American team to the World Series, and he's also named the MVP while he was there. Ohtani is the dual-threat pitcher and hitter who is already being compared to names like Babe Ruth, but he's playing an American-made sport, right? On an American team. In America's greatest national championship game. But he's not from here. He's not a U.S. citizen. Couldn't some other American-born player have taken his spot? Did they give a spot to a foreign-born guy that should have gone to an American? Short answer is no. The owners of the Dodgers saw no way to find someone of his caliber. They needed his expertise, so they went abroad. And it paid off. And not a single Dodgers fan regrets that decision, by the way. But, okay, let me make another analogy. Let me take it down another road, literally. If you listen to this show for even a little while, you know that I'm a car guy. I'm a frustrated car guy because I don't have a classic car to mess around with right now, but I'm a car guy nonetheless. Particularly, I love classic American-made muscle cars. If I had a dream car garage, it would contain a Grabber Blue 1970 Mustang Mach 1 with a 351 Cleveland close-ratio top-loader transmission mated to a Hurst T-handled shifter. Oh, yes, it would. Generally speaking, I'm a Ford guy. First on race day and all that. But there's others outside the Blue Oval family that I do have my eye on, like a Mach 1 Mustang would look really good in my garage next to a 71 Hemi Cuda with a pistol grip shifter in the console and that cheese grater grill. Yes, sir. Have I thought about it? Yeah, I have. So my first car that has been talked about on the show multiple times, my first baby had four wheels, a 68 Mustang Coupe with a 289. And I loved that car. I drove it all through high school and college. Eventually, life took over. Charlene and I did part with it to help pay for married life with a new real baby. But I still have a picture of it on the shelf in my office. But here's where I get to my analogy. I'm a car guy, right? Well, in the car world, there are different versions of car guys. There are those who believe that no classic car should ever be touched to the extent possible. Just get it running and then leave it alone. They believe in collecting what are known as survivors, with original paint, matching numbers on the engine, no changes from the original. And then there are those who are restorers. They believe that putting a car back to its original state in a pure and unadulterated manner is the ultimate in car culture, right down to the labels and the nuts and the bolts and the hoses. And then there's the restomods. The restomods, the guys who see a car and they want to make it look and run great, but they want more from it than what the factory could provide, so they put more stuff on it that came from the aftermarket. I'll be honest with you, I would say that my first baby, my 68 Mustang, would have to have been called a restomod. I restored the interior to factory stock, but I also installed an aftermarket sound system. I kept the original wheel covers in a box in the garage, but I thought it looked better with some classic chrome Krager mags. I kept the original 289 V8, but I wanted some more performance, so I opted to have it bored 30 over. I added an Edelbrock aluminum intake, a Holley 4-barrel carb, a crane cam, some hooker headers running out to dual exhaust. Why am I telling you all this? Because I saw a classic car that I loved, but I wanted more than I could get from the factory. So I went elsewhere, and I got parts and performance that I wanted. And it ran like a scalded dog, man. It sounded mean when it fired up. It turned heads, and it made me happy. And one day, I'll get back to another classic car. I'm sure of it. But that, my friends, between the baseball and the car analogy, that, my friends, is the H-1B visa program in a nutshell. And suddenly out of nowhere, there's a debate raging among the right side of the political aisle about whether or not the H-1 program needs to be shut down. Elon Musk says, no way. He says Tesla and SpaceX wouldn't be here today if he had only been able to hire from within the United States. He needed more, he thought, than what he could find here at home, so he also hired from abroad. He's got a point, and Vivek Ramaswamy has also joined him in the argument. To use my car analogy, Musk and Ramaswamy, they're kind of like resto mods. Take what they got, add more to it from sources that are not pure and confined. But I'll also say this, too. Musk and Ramaswamy both went too far when they said that anyone who doesn't like the H-1B program is a racist. Come on. I mean, just because you like resto mods does not mean someone else can't also have a Concours-level full restoration using only factory parts. But there are those who point out that the H-1B visa program is rife with fraud and corruption, and they would be right. There are constant and very recent stories in the news of abuses of the H-1 program by employers forging documents to bring in cheap labor, at the expense of American workers, by the way. And they deserve to go to jail. But the H-1 system, it also deserves to be looked at and maybe revised. American workers should never have to be faced with not being able to get work because somebody gamed the system using false pretenses to get a leg up on a foreigner over an American. So the calls are out right now to shut down the H-1B visa system completely, but that's misguided, in my opinion. It needs to be tamped down a bit. That kind of rhetoric is not necessarily helpful. We cannot be so purist in our mentality that we imagine that there's no one else in the whole world who can help us make something uniquely American even better than it is right now. Or that the only people who can do a job are here in America. At the same time, we do not need Americans losing jobs to cheap foreign labor, and that's got to get fixed. I mean, keep in mind, the U.S. space and missile program lagged behind all the efforts of German engineers from the middle of last century, so what did we do? We brought over Wernher von Braun and a team of German scientists, and they set up their new homes right here in our listening area in Huntsville, Alabama, and they joined with other highly skilled and highly qualified U.S. engineers and scientists, and they put a man on the moon. They took America to the space age, and they built a city called Huntsville, Alabama, from a small, semi-rural cotton town to the fastest-growing center of 21st century technology. Von Braun had been building rockets for our enemies, and then we brought him over here anyway and put him to work for us, and the world was changed for the better. The difference was, though, we didn't fire any American workers to get a cheap version of a scientist. Von Braun joined the American experts. Von Braun did have a skill set that we didn't fully have. He had expertise and experience that we did not have on hand. We wanted to innovate and explore and grow and build, and we needed a German expert to come in and help us get there. Okay, but we did it in a way that made sense, and that, my friends, is the difference. So yes, if you believe that American products should only be built by American workers, I can only agree to a point. I agree to the point that we can do so in a way that does get us there the fastest, the cheapest, with the highest quality possible, so American consumers benefit from it. But if there's a missing link, if we lack some piece of expertise or experience and some person in a foreign country is willing to leave their homeland to come make ours better, let's figure it out. If you're trying to game the system, though, and get one over on your own countrymen by hiring cheap foreign labor, then maybe you need to go to jail, and I'm all for you spending your time behind bars. And if you own a company, though, that can't find someone to fill a gap in your capabilities, and it does take looking abroad, then why do I care? Just don't cheapen America and cheat America in the process. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Wave.